गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada
Jaya Prabhupada
Prabhupada Prabhupada Prabhupada विष्णुपाद परमेश्वर जी आचार्य स्तुति और करेंगे इस भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद महाराज की जय अंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंद हरि हरि बोल Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva
Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tado Jaya Mudire Nashta Prayeshu Vadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Hare Krishna. So I think we are reading third canto, seventh chapter, verse number 37. Tattvanam Bhagavam Stesham Katidha Pratishankrama Tatremam Ka Upasiran Kaus with Anuserate Tattvanam Bhagavam Stesham Katidha Pratishankrama Tatremam Kaupasiran Kaus with Anusirate Tatvanam Bhagavam Stesham Katidha Pratishankrama Tatre mam ke kaupasiran Kaus with anusirate Tatvanam Bhagavam Stesham Katidha Patisankrama Tatremam Kaupasiram Kausvedanusherate Tatvanam Bhagavam Stesham Katidha Pratishankrama Tatremam Kaupasiran Kausved Anusherate Tatvanam Bhagavam Stesham Katidha Pratishankrama Tatremam Kaupasiran Kausved Anusherate Tatvanam Bhagavam Stesham Katidha Pratishankrama Tatremam Kaupasiran Kausveganusherate. Tatvanam, of the elements of nature. Bhagavan, O great sage. Tesham, of them. Katidha, how many? pratisankrama, dissolutions, tatra, thereupon, imam, unto the Supreme Lord, ke, who are they, upasiran, being saved, ke, who are they, who, swit, me, anuserate, serve the Lord while he sleeps. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Please describe how many dissolutions there are for the elements of material nature and who survives after the dissolutions to serve the Lord while he is asleep. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita 547-48, it is said that all the material manifestations with innumerable universes appear and disappear with the breathing of Mahavishnu lying in yoga nidra or mystic sleep. Yakarna varava jale bhajati sma yoga nidram ananta jagadanda sharomakupa adhar shakti navalambya param swamurtim govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami yasyaika nishvashita kalam athalavambya jivanti loma vilaja jagatanatha vishnur mahansahya yasya kalavishesho govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Govinda, the ultimate and supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, lies sleeping unlimitedly on the casual ocean in order to create unlimited numbers of universes during that sleep. He lies on the water by his own internal potency, and I worship that original supreme Godhead. Due to his breathing, innumerable universes come into existence, and when he withdraws his breath, there occurs the dissolution of all the lords of the universes. That plenary portion of the Supreme Lord is called Mahavishnu, and he is a part of the part of Lord Krishna. I worship Govinda, the original Lord. After the dissolution of the material manifestations, the Lord and his kingdom beyond the casual ocean do not disappear, nor do the inhabitants, the Lord's associates. The associates of the Lord are far more numerous than the living entities who have forgotten the Lord due to material association. The impersonalist explanation of the word aham in the four verses of the original Bhagavatam, aham eva sam eva agre, etc., is refuted here. The Lord and his eternal associates remain after the dissolution. Vidura's inquiry about such persons is a clear indication of the existence of all paraphernalia of the Lord. This is also confirmed in Kashi Kanda as quoted by both Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who follows in the footsteps of Srila Sridhar Swami. Na chanvayante hi yad bhakta maha mahatyam pralaya padi atochuto khile loke sa eka sarva govyaya. The devotees of the Lord never annihilate their individual existences, even after the dissolution of the entire cosmic manifestation. The Lord and the devotees who associate with him are always eternal in both the material and the spiritual worlds. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namah. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Pashyati Deshakarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I want to thank His Grace Pran Govind Prabhu for encouraging me to give the class, but I'm not very qualified to sit on the Vyasasana. It's only by the mercy of devotees we can do something like this. And also I want to say that I heard at some point from one devotee that if we say something about Krishna or do Krishna Katha, then during that time we are Krishna conscious. So at this point we can, whatever 30 minutes, 45 minutes I'll speak, I can be try to be Krishna conscious. So that is the only reason I'm sitting here. I think you all are very senior devotees here who have much more knowledge than I am and much more realization than I have. But I'll try to repeat the words of Srila Prabhupada and my guru. And I think that's what we have to be. We have to be like a parrot and just repeat the words of our acharyas. So I'll try to follow that. So this chapter 7 of the third canto, I was going through all the verses and I realized there are so many wonderful verses are in this chapter. And I thought maybe we can do a recap because it's a Monday and we are at 37th verse. So a recap will help us to kind of dig a little bit at a high level, look at some of the wonderful verses that have already gone and how we reach to a point where Vidura is asking this question. So this chapter begins by, the chapter is further inquiries by Vidura. So Vidura has already asked many questions to Maitreya Muni and now he's again asking new set of questions. And he starts this chapter by asking two main questions. The first question he asks is about Ishvara Tattva. He asks the question of if the Supreme Lord is spiritual, then how come he is under the modes of material nature, or he's in touch of the modes of material nature? And Maitreya Muni responds with that question, the answer to that question, and he says that the Supreme Lord has many different energies. So we have the material energy and we jivas, we are also his energies. These different energies can influence each other, like one can dominate each other. A material energy can dominate the jiva, jiva can dominate the material energy. But both of these energies can never dominate Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who actually created those energies. So they can never dominate the predominator, because those are our energies and Krishna is the energetic, the supreme energetic. So they can never do that. So this whole concept, as described by Maitreya Muni, is illogical. He uses the word illogical, that is beyond logic. So we cannot explain that. So that's the first question that Vidura asked Maitreya Muni. The second question he asked is about Jiva Tattva. He says, if the jiva is spiritual, if jiva is it's a pure soul, then how come it's affected by the nescience or material activities? And if super soul exists within our heart, then how come we are suffering? If super soul exists, then how come we are suffering? So Maitreya Muni responds to that question, and he says that jiva is suffering because of misidentification with matter. Because we identify selves with our matter. We read this in Bhagavad Gita again and again that we are not this body, but we still are go with that principle that yes, we are this body and we are this matter. And we try to hold on to the matter. We try to hold on to material designations. And because of that, there is suffering. And he gives the example of a head, if we are dreaming and if we dream of our head cut off, right? This is all illusion. When we wake up, our head is intact. So that's how this material world is. And he also gives the example of a moon's reflection on the river. So when we touch the river or there are ripples on the river, then the moon is moving, even though the moon is intact. So in the same way, we are not affected. At the soul level, we are not affected by the material miseries. But because we are identifying ourselves with matter, identifying ourselves with this material energy, then that's the reason suffering comes. So he gives this response with multiple examples. And then later on, Maitreya Muni, in verse 14, he gives a very good solution to all these problems of why we are suffering. What is the real solution to this? And we all know, we have been practicing this real solution for many of you, have been practicing for many years. The solution he gives is the solution of Bhakti Yoga. He says through Bhakti Yoga, we can actually, through Bhakti Yoga and detachment, we can be freed from all miseries of our existence in this material world. So in this described in verse 14, where he says that, what is the process of that Bhakti Yoga that you can use? He says the process of that Bhakti Yoga is Shravanam, is by hearing, the process of hearing. And I want to read this verse because this is a very important verse of this chapter. It says, simply by chanting and hearing of the transcendental name, form, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, one can achieve the cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. So simply by the process of Shravanam. We all know there are 9 processes of Bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atma Nivedanam. And out of that, Shravanam is one of the most important that Srila Prabhupada stressed on again and again, that this process of Shravanam is very important. And through that, we can actually get rid of material miseries. But then one thing very interesting in this verse is, in the second part of this verse, Maitreya Muni describes even something higher than Shravanam. He says, therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet? So he says that even service is actually higher than Shravanam. Yes, we all know Shravanam is also devotional service and service as well. But in this specific verse, practical service or service to the Lord's lotus feet is described even higher than the Shravanam process or the process of hearing. And then Vidura was said, all my doubts have been removed. Like how Krishna mentioned in his Bhagavad Gita that, okay, after understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, after understanding all his instructions, he said, yes, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, and I surrender unto you, I will act according to your instruction. So in similar way, Vidura was like thinking, okay, thank you, this is very helpful, and you have removed all my doubts, and your explanations are very good. And after saying that, Vidura explains this verse, which comes kind of a hidden verse in between, but what I thought of that is a very important verse, which is verse number 17, where Vidura says, both the lowest of fools and he who is transcendental to all intelligence enjoy happiness, whereas persons between them suffer the material pangs. He says that there are people who are ignorant, who are happy, because they are ignorance is bliss. That's what we say. So there are ignorant people who are happy. And then there are also people who are paramhansas, who are pure devotees. They are also super happy. They're always joyful. But there are people who are in between and who are struggling, who are like, they are devotees also. It is explained in one of the lectures, actually, Swayam Bhagavan Kesha Maharaj was explaining that there is a spectrum. And on the spectrum, there are devotees on the left and devotees on the right. And there are devotees who are always happy, always joyful, because bhakti is joyful. And they are at the end, and there are few of them, 10%. And then there are 80% of the devotees who are still trying to be happy. There are occasions where they don't feel happiness because there are miseries. And only by, he explained that only by tivra bhakti, only by intense devotion, we can go to the right end of the spectrum, which is where there are pure devotees. And he explains this through the words, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaridhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajata purusham param. He says that through tivra bhakti or through intense devotion, we can get there. And he explains two criteria in there, one through quality and other through quantity. So by increasing our quality of our service, and by increasing the quantity of our service. Again, it depends which one we use depending on where we are. A lot of times, just quantity doesn't help. Quality is important. And in some cases, if someone already has quality, then maybe they can do quantity. But I thought I'll explain this verse because this is a very important verse, kind of comes in between. And then comes the verse 18, where it's explained, but my dear sir, Vidura is saying that how I understand the knowledge, I understand the concept that we are misidentifying with matter. I understand that we are suffering because we are misidentifying with matter. And all that is knowledge, and I totally understand. But I can only convert that knowledge into realization when I'm serving your lotus feet. He's saying that to Maitreya Muni. He's saying only if I serve your lotus feet, I can realize that knowledge. That shows us something really wonderful, which is Vaishnav Seva. It shows us the principle of Vaishnav Seva. That Vaishnav Seva is even higher. Like by doing Vaishnav Seva, all that knowledge we are gaining from books, and we can just realize that knowledge. And we know in Srimad Bhagavatam, so many devotees have been glorified. And not just the incarnations of the Supreme Lord, but also so many devotees are glorified, because these devotees, if we take shelter of them, if we serve them, like, we can actually get rid of our miseries and can progress in bhakti. Also, the verse that we read before, the verse that we read before we start Srimad Bhagavatam is Nashtra Prayeshu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that we have to serve the book Bhagavat and we have to serve the devotee Bhagavat. So this is Vaishnav Seva. Vaishnav Seva means serving the pure devotees. That means serving our spiritual master and serving other pure devotees. So it's a very high principle. And so we have to do that. If we do both book Bhagavat, serve book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat, we can make progress in bhakti. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains this line. He says, human reason fails to understand how serving a devotee can remove all your miseries and can help us realize Krishna. So human, like non-devotees can never understand that how by just reading Bhagavatam, how just by serving a devotee, serving a pure devotee, serving Vaishnavas, we can be purified and we can make progress. They can never understand. So the example is given of, like, there are ripples in a river, and if those ripples in the river, when the river meets the ocean, the waves of the ocean actually overpower the ripples. So it is described that these waves of bhakti can actually overpower these material ripples of material desires. So if we are focused on our devotion, focus on serving Vaishnavas and pure devotees and our spiritual master, then we can easily be free from all material miseries. So then in verse 20, actually, before I go to 20, I want to read the purport of 18, because purport of 18 summarizes all the things that we just talked about. And Srila Prabhupada explains this in just few lines. And he says, the sufferings of the conditioned souls are superficial and have no intrinsic value, like the cutting off of one's head in a dream. Yet, although this statement is theoretically very true, it is very difficult for common man or the neophyte on the transcendental path to realize practically. So it's hard to realize this practically. However, he says, by serving the feet of great transcendentalists like Maitreya Muni, and by constantly associating with them, one is enabled to give up the false idea that the soul suffers from material pangs. So we can be free by serving the devotees and Vaishnavas. So after that, Vidura, again, he asked a series of questions, which are also some of the questions that he asked in the second canto, has been asked in the second canto. And then I want to summarize what happens in the 36th verse, because Vidura has asked all these questions, and now he's saying that, okay, I've asked all the questions, but there are maybe questions that I have not asked. So please describe also those questions that I have not asked. So sometimes the spiritual master, we go to the spiritual master, you ask a question, he answers the question. Sometimes you ask a question, he may not answer the question. I mean, a lot of times happens with me. I go to my Guru Maharaj and ask the question, and he would stay quiet. And so no answer, right? And sometimes you get an answer, whatever you ask. Sometimes you don't even ask, but you get an answer, or you get some instruction. So here, Vidura is making sure I'm covered with all different scenarios. And he's saying, Maitreya Muni, you're intelligent, you're my guru. You tell me, if something I'm missing, you tell me what instructions you want to give me, or what other knowledge you want to give me. So that's the 36th verse. And now, in the 37th verse, Vidura is asking about dissolutions, about all the dissolutions. Please describe how many dissolutions there are for the elements of material nature, and who survives after the dissolutions to serve the Lord while he is asleep. So the answer to this question is not in this chapter. The answer to this question comes in the 3rd canto, 10th chapter, and then also it comes in the 12th canto, 4th chapter, where all these dissolutions are described. But before we talk about dissolution, we should talk about creation. I'm not a scientist, so I cannot go deeper into what's happening in the modern science, but I know last year there was a discussion, an article came out, which was saying that now we have figured out that Earth will get destroyed one day. So now they've figured this out in 2020, I think it was 2023, they figured out that Earth will get destroyed one day because they saw something like two stars colliding because of the sun, and they're saying, okay, it will happen. And they're saying their prediction is 5 billion years from now, this will happen. So this is their prediction. So slowly and slowly, science is catching up to what Srimad Bhagavatam is already describing of all the dissolutions that are going to happen. But again, I'm sure there are other devotees here who know more about like what's happening in the modern science to compare with what's in the Vedic. What I know is if we follow Srimad Bhagavatam, eventually science will catch up and they will give us the same knowledge which we have in Srimad Bhagavatam. So before we talk about the destruction, actually we should look into the creation part, because Srila Prabhupada in his purport not only talks about destruction, but also talks about the creation. And creation itself is such a vast topic and such a vast kind of area, we cannot touch upon this in 5 minutes. But I want to read one purport from Srila Prabhupada, kind of sums it up really well on what creation is. This is from 2nd canto, 5th chapter, 33rd verse. And he says, "The Lord then, by his planetary portion as Mahavishnu, lies down within the water of the Mahatattva, and the water is called the casual ocean, Karnajal. While Mahavishnu sleeps within the casual ocean, innumerable universes are generated along with his breathing. These universes are floating and they are scattered all over the casual ocean. They stay only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu. In each and every universal globe, the same Mahavishnu enters again as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and lies there on the serpent-like Shesha incarnation. From his navel sprouts a lotus stem, and on the lotus, Brahma, the Lord of the universe, is born. Brahma creates all forms of living beings of different shapes in terms of different desires within the universe. He also creates the sun, moon, and other demigods." So this summarizes kind of a creation of Mahavishnu breathing, creating multiple universes, entering into those universes as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Lord Brahma is coming. And from Lord Brahma, many living entities are created. So this is the part of creation. When we look at annihilation, this is important to know that we initially, Vidura is asking question like, how come the Lord is in touch with the material modes? But we are proving that, and Maitreya Muni is proving that, no, Lord is always detached. So you can see how many times it happens where if we create something, we destroy it. Like, let's suppose we create a home in Alachua. Would we like to destroy it? No. It will be very hard for us to destroy something. But here, the Supreme Lord is creating by breathing, and he's destroying also. So he's never attached to what he's creating. Right? So when we talk about this destruction, as explained in, there's a very brief mention in the 3rd canto, 10th chapter, of 3 types of destruction or annihilation that the Supreme Lord does. He says the first type of annihilation is through Kala, through time, the factor of time. Like through time, everything gets destroyed, right? And he explains the devastation of the universes and end of Brahma's life. The second type of destruction, he says, is Dravya, through Dravya, which is Dravya means material elements. And the third is through Guna, due to one's own actions or consumption of one's body. There's not much explanation given for these 3 types of destruction. But they are all related to the 4 types of destruction described in the 12th canto, 4th chapter. of Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is described in the 12th canto, 4th chapter, and this is very technical subject matter. So it's so bear with me on this one. It's not that interesting. It's not about, we are not talking about bhakti, we are talking about annihilation, which is not always interesting. I want to highlight kind of the four types of destruction that we read from 12th canto, 4th chapter. The first is nitya. Like when we are, before coming to Krishna consciousness, I never thought that there is destruction happening every second. My body is getting destroyed, like I'm getting closer to death through my body. Again, at that point, I didn't have any concept of what the soul is. So I was thinking it's just, I'm enjoying every birthday, I would be really happy. But I didn't know that it's a downhill actually, since from the day you take birth. So this nitya, which is constant annihilation, that's happening every single day. If we put, like buy a brand new car and put it out in the parking lot, it will get destroyed after 50 years or 100 years. You'll see that everything gets destroyed. So that is a nitya annihilation that's happening. The second type of annihilation is naimittika annihilation, which is occasional annihilation. So we know that after one day of Brahma, there is an annihilation. And that annihilation is called naimittika annihilation. And that one day of Brahma is not like one day of ours. One day of Brahma, as we know, it's 1,004 yuga cycles, 1,000 cycles of four yugas, which is Satya, Treta, Dwapar, and Kali. So after that one day of Brahma, there is partial annihilation or occasional annihilation that happens, where all the jivas up to Swargalok merge into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So that's happening in the naimittika annihilation, Pralaya. The third is called Prakrita, which is total annihilation, which happens after the end of Brahma's 100 years. So when Brahma's life is over, then there is a big annihilation, and then up to Brahmalok, everything gets destroyed and everyone merges into Mahavishnu. So in Naimittika, we merge into Garbho Dakshaya Vishnu, and Prakritika, we merge into Mahavishnu. And then the last one is Atyantika, which is at the individual level, which is we are all trying to progress, and at individual level, our false ego is destroyed, and then eventually we get liberation. That is at the individual level. So then the question comes to mind, if this merging is happening to Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, if this merging is happening to Mahavishnu, then do we lose our identity? And Srila Prabhupada explains in one of the purports, and I'm not going to read the purport, but the idea is that no, our individual existence is never destroyed. So, and our identity is reinstated. Once we merge, after that, when the creation happens again, or the Brahma's next day, because during Brahma's night, we are sleeping, we are merged into Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, and then when the next day comes, we again are manifested, and then we start from there again. So our identities are reinstated. So now comes to the very important point of this purport, which is the verse that Srila Prabhupada describes in this. And he says the devotees of the Lord never annihilate their individual existences, even after the dissolution of the entire cosmic manifestation. The Lord and the devotees who associate with him are always eternal in both the material and the spiritual worlds. So Srila Prabhupada, through this purport, is explaining what he has always said. He says the devotee never dies. The devotee is never annihilated. Right? Yes, there are devotees who are progressing in spiritual life. And as explained in the second canto, in the second chapter, 40th verse, where if there is any bhakti we have done, there is no loss. Right? There is no loss to our bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada explains in his lectures that if you have done bhakti for 20%, the next life you start 21%. If you have done bhakti for 80%, you start in your next life as 81%. So that spiritual wallet is always there. And I don't know if you have used the phone wallet. In the phone there is a wallet. So in that you can swipe anywhere and you can use it, even if you don't have a wallet. But can the most innovative companies like Apple generate some kind of a wallet which you can carry from one life to another life? No, right? So, but The Supreme Lord has created that wallet only for devotees, which is called the spiritual wallet, which is anything that we are storing in that wallet, we'll take that to the next life. Even though our bodies are changing, but we are still carrying on in our spiritual life, in our bhakti from one life to another. So in that one day of Brahma, it could be many births and deaths, but for a devotee, there is no birth and death because he is advancing in spiritual life and he's getting one step and might be multiple steps closer to Krishna, and some of them are actually going back to Krishna in one life. So a devotee never dies. And what to speak of pure devotees? Pure devotees, they come for a specific purpose in life, in this material world. They come for this purpose, and they, once the purpose is fulfilled, they leave. And because they leave, because they are doing something else. Their service is now changing from this life to another life, or to maybe somewhere else. And it's a great example of Srila Prabhupada, where Srila Prabhupada came and he spread the whole Krishna conscious movement, and then he left. But then he didn't leave us, because he left with so many disciples, he left with so many books, he left with so many instructions, right? So for a devotee, there is no disappearance. I know we celebrate disappearance, we celebrate appearance, but disappearance itself doesn't apply to devotees, pure devotees, because if we are saying that the particular acharya or particular devotee has disappeared, then that means we are not following the instructions of that acharya. That means we are not following the instructions of that pure devotee. Because our pure devotee is always leaving his legacy, he's always leaving his instructions. Now every single day we are doing Guru Puja, every single day we are reading Srila Prabhupada's books, every single day we are discussing Prabhupada's books, associating with him in through his books. So Prabhupada is always there with us. There is no disappearance. So as explained in this verse, for a pure devotee, there is no death. They are going from one life to another life and they are serving. And they may be serving with Krishna, they may be serving somewhere else. Like sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say that I have to go back, go down to the lower planetary systems to preach. So he's always there, he's always doing service to Krishna. So Guru Bhaktivinoda Thakur has actually mentioned that a person who misses his spiritual master after his disappearance is the one who does not follow his instructions. So this is a very strong statement, because he's saying that if we are tied to the instructions of our spiritual master, then we can never think that the spiritual master has disappeared. It's the mood of our spiritual master of service that we need to imbibe inside of our heart. And if we do that, actually devotees who have been serving for many, many years, they don't feel separation from their spiritual master, because they are connected to him through his instruction, through his mood, through his heart. And so we know that Srila Prabhupada was asked by a reporter, he says, what will happen to the movement in the United States when you die? And Srila Prabhupada said, I will never die. And that statement actually touches the heart, because he says, I shall live for my books and you will utilize. So Srila Prabhupada is there with us always in his books. Just last week, I actually lost my spiritual master in Bapu. But he gave us 10 instructions. So we are trying to follow those instructions. And I think that is important, is to follow the instructions. And then if we can follow those instructions, our spiritual master is always with us. So through these difficult times, because this is a decade, they say this is a decade of tears. And I'm not looking forward to that. But still, we have to follow the instructions. Actually, my spiritual master, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he gave 10 instructions. And one devotee, his Tapan Mishra Prabhu, he's I think the education ministry head, he said something very powerful. He said, these 10 instructions can be copied by every guru in ISKCON. All they have to do is change the name. So these 10 instructions apply to everyone, each one of us who are the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Because it establishes Srila Prabhupada as our preeminent Shiksha Guru. It establishes ISKCON as the entity that we have to follow, because that is the heart of Srila Prabhupada. That is what we have to follow. So if we go with that mentality and with this thinking that our instructions include our spiritual master, he's there, maybe not through Vapu, but through Vani, and guiding us for every step of our spiritual life, then that it's never lost. They have never disappeared. We should not celebrate disappearance. It's always appearance. He's always there with us. And as Bhakti Vinod Thakur has said, he reasons ill who tells that Vaishnava die. When thou art living still in sound, the Vaishnavas die to live and living try to spread the holy name around. So, as we read this, we can see that we can follow Srila Prabhupada, we can read his books, we can always associate with him, we can also associate with our gurus and our spiritual master, even if they seem to be disappeared in their vapu. I will stop here and see if there are any questions. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Very nice class, thank you. I think originally Vidura wanted to be instructed by Uddhava. Uddhava said, no, you take instruction from Maitreya, he's much more senior. Then you said that Vidura accepted him as his guru. So just Shiksha guru, or in what way? I mean, how does he know that what the answers of what Maitreya is going to say is going to be fulfilling? And obviously he was recommended by Uddhava, and it was an initial kind of meeting. So you mentioned that he was accepted as his guru. And so how do we recognize that, just from our guru or from the senior disciples, we also consider them guru? Or can you maybe say something about that?
Yeah, no problem. I'm sure you can also say more about it. What I have seen is, a lot of times when I have some doubts, even if someone is not my guru and he's a senior devotee, I get instructions which I think are coming through Krishna in a way that I can apply in my life. And that's why deep thinking and deep introspection is always needed when we have doubts in our mind. Because sometimes I may have a doubt and I may call my spiritual master and I may not get an answer. Or if I have a doubt and I go and talking to devotees and all of a sudden I get a response, which is, that's what I was looking for. So I would say, okay, this is Krishna's mercy coming through a devotee. So that's one thing, is we can get instructions from anyone who's senior, who's more realized than us. And not only senior, even someone junior. I mean, we know in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he got some instructions from someone very young, and Srila Prabhupada got instruction to print books, like rather than Back to Godhead magazine. And so instructions can come from anyone, as long as we are respectful and deeply introspecting what's coming. In the case of Vidura and Maitreya Muni, because Uddhava has instructed Vidura to get all the answers, so he, because Uddhava is a great devotee of the Lord and he's instructing him, so obviously he was thinking that, yes, I will be able to get all my answers, so he's more like a Shiksha Guru. I don't think so in Srimad Bhagavatam it is described like a proper Diksha anywhere, but I'm assuming this is all Shiksha that he's receiving from Maitreya Muni. So that's my thought, Prabhu. Please add anything you want to.
Thank you for the class. I had a question about the last paragraph, but I think you pretty much answered it. I was just wondering, you know, why specifically the devotees are mentioned, the ones that are not annihilated after the annihilation of the universe, and that goes to everybody, really. So, but then you're explaining in a special way the devotees, their remembrance of Krishna is not, so their consciousness is not, whereas the rest of us, our existence is not annihilated. There's no birth and death to the spirit soul, no matter how fallen we may be, but we don't retain proper consciousness, to put it mildly. I'm a little bit uncomfortable, maybe because I'm just not there yet, about there's no disappearance. And, of course, on the Vaishnava calendar, there so many disappearance days in addition to appearance days. So we can say for the rest of us, we do make that distinction. There was a devotee, I won't mention his name, he started the Ritvik movement in New York. Some of my godbrothers may know who I'm referring to, but don't say his name. And he may still be alive, I'm not sure. He kind of became out of the loop. But we were in the temple room in the very early days of Skirmerhorn Street, the big building in New York, Brooklyn. And to make a long story short, he was insisting that the Murti of Srila Prabhupada, he says, I talked to Prabhupada and Murti. Murti and Prabhupada, and Prabhupada and Murti, there's absolutely no difference, he was saying. And I said, well, you know, I really admire if you have such an exalted realization and you can speak with the Murti. And I told him that I've had personal interactions with Srila Prabhupada when he was physically present, and it was a million times easier to get some interaction when he was physically present than when he's sitting there in his murti form. So I'm not accusing a devotee of putting on a show or being completely artificial. He may have had that realization, but my suggestion is that sometimes we distinguish between very, very high devotees, and I'm not talking about my godbrother right now, but when we distinguish between the ideal realization and, you know, like for the rest of us, you know, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying we shouldn't aspire to have that very high realization and we can work on it, but our very vocabulary of including the term disappearance implies that for the rest of us, for the majority, we're not quite there yet where we can say there's no disappearance. Actually, Prabhupada says the duty in the fourth canto verse, it's a duty of the disciple should cry very loudly when the spiritual master disappears. Not that I start crying very loudly and then somebody comes and says, hey, what are you doing? There's no disappearance. This is crying is ridiculous. So I'm just kind of taking the devil's advocate here a little bit, or presenting an alternative, point of view. Thank you, Hare Krishna. I don't know if you want to give me feedback on it.
Thank you, Maharaj. I think you're right. We have to, I mean, I am a real world scenario that happened with me. On May 5th, my spiritual master left. And yes, I think we have to empathize with those devotees if that happens. Like if someone goes through that, we cannot tell them, oh, there is no disappearance. No, I miss my spiritual master. I didn't get that much of association with him, but whatever association I got with him, I'm rewinding every single day in my mind, in my heart. So yes, and he's disappeared in his vapu, but through his instructions, I mean, there's so many videos where he kept on saying again and again, like, Vani is more important, Vani is more important. So I can continue on this path of, like, you're right, in scriptures it's described that when you lose your spiritual master, you should cry like how, I think a queen loses her husband, so we should cry like that. So yes, we have to cry, but we also have, we can see that, like for example, in my case, my spiritual master is given a will with instructions. And it follows exactly what he has been teaching for 50 years and saying, this is what you follow. Vapu is important, but Vani is more important. Vapu is important, but Vani is more important. Again and again, he's giving us instruction. So then eventually there has to be a point where we say, yes, from now, that yes, I can cry more and more, but am I doing the service that my spiritual master has given me? Am I following his instructions, or am I just crying? Would he want me to cry right now, or would he want me to serve right now? And with keeping that in mind, at some point we should say, okay, maybe I should transition into serving him, because that will please him most. And but I agree with you, Maharaj, that we cannot be saying, I think maybe I was strong in saying there is no disappearance. But maybe that's for me to keep in my heart and say there is no disappearance for me, because I have to try to follow his instructions. If I follow his instructions, then he will always stay with me. So that's more personal. But yes, we cannot generalize it for everyone.
Thank you for your incredible class. For me, disappearance means it's just another chance to remember the Guru and his instructions. So that's why I appreciate disappearance too. My question is, did you say that service was higher than Shravana?
That is described in the 14th verse of this chapter.
Service is higher than Shravana.
Service is higher than
Shravana. But in order to do service, don't we need to hear about service? Because unless you hear about it, you don't know what service is.
So that's just in this context, he's saying what to speak of service. Maitreya Muni is saying, yes, Shravanam, Bhakti Yoga will get rid of your miseries, like through Shravanam, and then what to speak of service. So service is higher doesn't mean that we leave our Shravanam and only do service. It means Shravanam also has a place, and practical service also has a place. And the important point comes later, which is through service, all the Shravanam, the knowledge we have gained, become realization. So that is where verse 18, it kind of brings everything together and say, yes, we do Shravanam, but at the same time, we do practical service, and then we get the realization that we need.
So service is actually realization of the Shravana. And then when it comes together, you're saying the service is higher because service is a practical application of the Shravana.
Yes. Something like my spiritual master says all the time, he's like, okay, you're chanting and you're asking Krishna, please give me service. Mm-hmm. But then when the time for service comes, you run away. Well, you are asking the Supreme Lord every single day, please give me service to your lotus feet, please give me service. So that's why when we chant in that way, mood, when the service comes, we take that service, because that will give us the realization. And that is what Krishna is sending. Krishna is sending that practical service for us to do. That's why we serve in the temple, we serve the deities, we serve other Vaishnavas, because that will give us the realization, what we're learning from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, but we don't neglect the other.
Like no, we don't neglect, right? Yes.
You know, it's amazing, yesterday I was out on weekend at work, and this one girl came up to me and she said, oh, you're so happy. He said, and I said, aren't you happy? She goes, no. And I said, well, how can I be happy? And I said, I have a relationship with God. And she said, how do you do that? And I said, first of all, God is very, very loving. Is more loving than we can ever imagine. And she started crying. She said, I've never heard that, that God is loving, because in Christian Bible. And I said, you know, just go down on your knees and pray to the Lord from the bottom of your heart that I'm very unhappy and you're my Father, my loving Father. How can I be loving? Before I knew it, there was a group of people around me, you know, listening to this. And they said, would that remove my sadness? I said, more than you can imagine. I said, and then I didn't want to tell them right away chanting Hare Krishna. I thought if they pray, then I'll see them again. I go back to that place. And our friend was saying, I was telling her about God, but I didn't have the power that you have. And I just said, no, when you pray sincerely, God is right there in your heart. He's the closest person to you, closer than your parents, closer than anybody else. So if you pray and said, my Lord, I'm suffering. You're my Father, my mother. Just remove my sadness. Come into my heart. She couldn't stop crying. She was just so amazed. She said, you already removed my sadness. So
that's amazing. Thank you.
Krishna is so powerful. So powerful.
Thank you so much. Okay, we'll end here. Hare Krishna, Granthashana Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.